Jesus. In this service, we welcome and receive revelation of the written word. There is no error or confusion in this atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we're edified. Amen. Hallelujah. You know that prayer, he's glorified. What does it mean? That's our subject, right? Hallelujah. The Father glorified in the Son. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. Verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, verse 19, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things wherefore I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. And last week we began to look at the importance of reading scriptures properly. And I took you through, we looked at the word didache, right, the mode of explaining scripture. In the earlier service, I told them about proof texting. Proof texting is when you make a statement, then you look for scriptures. And many of us do that. Rather than study scriptures, then use the statements of scripture. One of them, you walk to a determined end, right? The other one, you find out what scriptures is saying. So in Luke 24, verse 25 to 27, we find Jesus, who spoke to his own disciples and said, O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory, beginning at Moses, verse 26 and 27, and all the prophets, he expounded, Luke 24, 27, in all the scriptures, the things concern himself. The word expounded there means to interpret and translate. Firstly, you go through the grammar, you go through the context, you go through the conversations. I think I taught you that. How to read the Bible as a conversation. Remember that? Okay, who said what? What is this response about? So you are not answering the wrong question. So you must find out what was the conversation involved. And then in Luke 24 again, verse 44, then he came and spake unto them, saying, these are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And verse 45 says, he opened ye their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Now, last week I showed you that all the writers of scripture, from Paul and then the apostles, Peter, John, James, writer of Hebrews, Jude, they all wrote from earlier scriptures. Nobody decided to write his own. You know, they were making references consistently to books written before them. So we said the background of the epistles is the book of Acts and the four gospels. The background of the four Gospels are the prophets. The background of the prophets, the law of Moses, that is Exodus to Deuteronomy. And the background of that is Genesis. You must always understand that very simple understanding. Or have that very simple understanding. You find out that everyone was referencing the other. Not that people just woke up one day and they, oh, I feel God is saying this. No, that's why Peter, in 2 Peter 1, 16, it says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word there is the word sophizo. We haven't crafted something from the blues. We haven't just come up with our own ideas. Peter is saying there's nothing new in our revelation. That's what he's saying. So we were eyewitnesses, of his majesty. We're with him on the holy mountain. We heard from the voice from the majesty on high when he says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. And I told you the word more sure of prophecy is not a comparison. It means we now have this prophecy fulfilled. It's not a comparison. When you say more sure in today's language, you are saying more is more than this. But that's not what it means. More sure word of prophecy simply means something has been established finally. We have a more sure word of prophecy. As you take heed, Peter says, you do well as you take heed as the day star, and the day dawn and day star arise in your heart as a light, pardon me, that shineth into a dark place, as the day star and the day dawn day star arises in your heart. But that's not my emphasis. My emphasis is the next statement he made. He said, no prophecy of the scriptures. No prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. That is, every one of them spoke from the same source. They were moved by the Spirit of God. And when you're moved by the Spirit of God, it's not a personal thing. Because the Spirit of God is found in the prophets of God. So in 2 Timothy 3:15, when Paul says to Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Then he says in 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God, inspired by God. Theonistos in the Greek, two words. New, to breathe, to inspire. In the word theo, God. And the profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Which means, Genesis to Malachi is for spiritual growth. Come on. Yeah? So spiritual growth. It's for spiritual growth. We don't read that. We no longer read that. You know, you are saying that because you are in 2020. If you are in Paul's church, then Paul says, so what are you reading? Say, this is our God. You can't say that. The only thing you will be reading will be Genesis through to Malachi. So we showed last week, for example, I showed you last week that Daniel, remember? Daniel referenced Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah referenced the Lord. Let me show you one more. Malachi, which should be technically the last book in the arrangement in your Bible. Because it's an arrangement. Malachi, look at the references. Malachi 1, verse 2. I've loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, when as you loved us, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob. So he's referencing Genesis. All the way to Genesis. Which means Malachi was reading Genesis. Let's see another one. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Remember ye verse 4. The law of Moses my prophet, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. That means in the time of Malachi, what were they doing using their study group? In their study group, come on. The law of Moses. That was what they're doing. So on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus took them through all the scriptures, it wasn't something new, it was what everyone had to do. They had to read through all the books. Let's see one more. Verse 5. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming. So there was also the knowledge of Elijah, which is 1 Kings and earlier part of 2 Kings. Which means these are books that they used in their studies. Hallelujah. Nobody spoke on his own. They spoke by the Holy Ghost. When I say they spoke by the Holy Ghost, that means that they spoke from the same books that you are reading today. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we must know that. When Jesus, therefore, begins to study through on the road to Emmaus, it was something, nothing new he was doing. I showed you last week, Ezra and Nehemiah, how he did the same thing. He showed them the meaning, the grammatical meaning, the contextual meaning, Nehemiah 8 verse 7 and 8. Same thing. So you have a duty to understand, study, what we refer to as the Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi. Praise the Lord. Every phrase, term, teaching of the epistles has its narrative or full story in the Old Testament books, as we call it. Every theme, every teaching, every phrase, every theme, yeah, phrase, concept has its story or narrative within the Old Testament books, which means that every time I use a phrase, I go back there to check it. Yesterday we had a workers' meeting here, and I showed you that when Paul says to Timothy, "You are faithful," Paul is reading from Genesis, Exodus, and I showed you the meaning of that faithfulness, right? Yesterday's meeting. What does that faithfulness, what does it mean? So when Paul says, "Timothy, you are faithful," I mustn't look for somebody faithful in my own office. No, no, no. The faithfulness is in Scripture. So I notice the faithfulness. So yesterday we looked at the examples of such faithful men within the Scriptures. And also when you say unfaithful men, we also have the same examples. So Bible truth has Bible examples. Bible truth has Bible narrations. Bible truth has Bible illustrations. The illustrations of every concept and theme is found in Scripture itself. So therefore, it's not therefore a strange pattern that Jesus takes them through all the Scriptures. That's exactly how it's always been done. I taught you different modes of reading earlier in the first service. I told them about two things. One, I mentioned two things you must always do. I said the Old Testament is predictive, is also progressive. Now, I've mentioned is also conversations. In fact, the very opening statements of the Bible is, "What have you done?" Rhetoric. Who told you? Where are you? So which means we are going to find such conversational terms, which are rhetorics. A question that really is not a question that has an answer in itself. That's another mode of reading Scripture, in a conversation manner. You know, one more, okay, that will also help you as you read through Scripture, understand the grammar, understand the context. Notice something we did in Malachi here. Malachi is hundreds of years after the Exodus. Yet, the same truth is being said, because like I mentioned in the earlier service, you have two different worlds, two different times, but the same knowledge, the same problems. So we came up with the concept of the identification of unifiers, which means what is similar in these worlds. Idol worship, sin is similar. Rebellion is similar. Opposition is similar. Persecution is similar. Deception is similar. Idol worship is similar, even though they are in different worlds. The idol worship of Moses could have been in the temple of the Egyptians. But the idol worship today is probably on our phones. Amen. Did you hear that? On our phones. Amen. Glory to God. You worship the information there. Worship anything you see there. Some guys are quick to believe anything they read. You know, that's idol worship. Anything that advances itself against the knowledge of God's word is an idol. That advances itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, Paul says, "Though we war in the flesh, we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but might go to the pulling down strongholds, casting out every imagination, and bringing into captivity every thought and the knowledge that exalts itself against," Paul says, "the knowledge of God." It means just, yeah, it's battling in your mind. So we have idol worship. So when I read Malachi, I mustn't be looking for idols in a temple, in a bush. Idols can be right there on my phone. It can be right there in things I see, things I cherish, and things I adore. So that's how to identify what is unifying the world. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying. Okay, very good. So as you study, you must find out that unifying systems or unifying thoughts. So we're looking at the concept of the Father being glorified in the Son. And we said the word glory, you know, sometimes words can be lost, you know, in usage. And, you know, and that's why it's important to be taught. I remember that I was asking one fellow last year, I said, why is Nigeria having June 12th? You know, he told me, he said, "June 12th holiday is a holiday for Yorubas." This is a master's degree holder. I said, I don't understand. He said, because it's the governors in the South that declare it. So I said, why would they just declare it? He said, because then they used to fight. They were not in the central government. So they were doing a holiday to oppose the central government. I thought I was in a dream. That wasn't the worst part of the conversation. I said, do you know MKO Abiola? Oh, he said, yeah. The guy they named the stadium after? I said, yeah. He said, a footballer. You know, the truth is that, I mean, if he grows up, oh, he's already grown up, and he has kids, he's probably going to tell his children, and then he'll say, yeah, and that's all. Because it now, the meanings will now be lost. Just like the word glory. When he said glory, the glory of God. Oh, see the glory of God. Hallelujah. I've been in a wedding before that the bride came said, come on, see the glory of God. And they said, wow. See a house, the glory of God. Brother, you are really looking nice. So in all this pandemic, guys, it's the glory of God. Before you know it, that word loses its meaning. And somebody said, well, you know, I know that they want to sack me. I know, listen very well to this one. Hey, they want to sack me, but I know that no matter, God is going to be glorified. What's the glorifying? They won't sack you. Yet, so, the meaning is lost. Just like the word blessed. The word blessed, it has been lost. Not just in translation. In everything. The word blessed. So the truth is, we must find out Bible meaning for Bible words. So when Jesus says that the Father may be glorified in the Son, it takes his word from the word doxa. We said that last week. Doxa, D-O-X-A, is a Greek word. But because Jesus is not teaching from a Greek oriented word, let me say, put it properly. Jesus is teaching from the Jewish Bible, which has Hebrew words. When it says glorified, even though it's in Greek called doxa, the word is in the Old Testament books as we call it. Kabod. K-A-B-W-D. K-A-B-W-D or K-A-B-O-D. Kabod. The word kabod literally means heavy. Heavy. The word kabod literally means heavy. And it is used to represent. Let me show you something quickly so you see a bit of what I want to say. Go to the book of 1 Samuel. Just a bit of this. This wasn't in my notes, but I just sense I should talk about this. 1 Samuel. Then we just sang some glory all around. Glory all. And you can look at that, then get to a wonderful city. And he said, glory all around. And then you get to another place. They need the glory of God here. And then, even though there's a church there, but this one doesn't have a church, but it has, you know, the glory of God. And then you don't know the meaning anymore. Hallelujah. In fact, there's some songs people sing, they sing they're glorifying God. We're giving God the glory. But they don't know what it means. So let's see. 1 Samuel, chapter 2. Chapter 3, actually. And the child Samuel, verse 1, ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord. Now the word of the Lord refers to prophecy. Prophecy about what God is doing. When people begin to intimate men about God's plan. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. Now, how? There was no what? Come on, there was no what? Open vision. So it came to pass, watch this. It came to pass that when Eli was like laid down in his face and his eyes began to wax dim and he couldn't see. And here the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel laid down there. So he says here, very carefully, he says the visions were pressed, were not known. Visions, people were not seeing and knowing what God was doing. People were not seeing and knowing what God was doing. Now look at verse chapter 4, verse 22, verse 21. Now when there was destruction and all of that, they had a child. And they named the child Ichabod. The glory is departed. Verse 21, chapter 4. Because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. You see, it has nothing to do with material things. It has to do with God's plan. They weren't seeing what God was doing. Nobody was talking about God's redemption plan for the world anymore. And he says, the glory is gone. So the glory of God, when you say the word kabod, deals with the work of the Spirit. The work of the Holy Ghost. Kabod. Weighty. Heavy. Now, because words usually have, words have meanings only in there, and I tell people a lot of times, you can study the Greek and Hebrew and even use those dictionaries. I'm always very careful of using, I don't use them at all, actually. The dictionaries, I don't want to mention their names, because they give their own meanings. But words only have meanings when they are used. It's how they use words that you will know the meaning. For example, that word kabod means heavy. Heavy, it's used for physical possessions. Look at Genesis 31. We were there last week. Genesis 31. Verse 1. Physical possession. He heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob hath taken away all that our fathers and all that which our father had. He has gotten all this glory. Heaviness. Referring to possession. Genesis 45, verse 13. 45, verse 13. You shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen. This refers to his position and honor that he has in Egypt. Genesis 49 and verse 6. My honor. My honor. So far, we have not read about the glory of God. We have read about the glory of men, right? Right? Come on. Come, have we read that? The glory of Jacob and Laban. The glory of Joseph. So let's now read the glory of God. It would be an insult to equate the glory of God to the glory of man. Who agrees with that? That's an insult. You say, well, where are you saying glory? Heaviness with men had to do with possessions, authority that Joseph had. But that's not, that'd be an insult to equate that with the glory of God. Exodus 16, verse 7. And in the morning, when you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he that hears your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against the Lord? That was when manna was provided. The glory of the Lord. Verse 10. The glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud, the work of the Spirit. The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Praise the Lord. So, can we say that the glory of the Lord is the work of the Holy Spirit? Is that it? Is that it? Come on, guys. The glory of a man, the academic laurels, not bad. The glory of a man, what they have in the bank accounts, glory to God. Amen. Glory of the Lord. It's not that. The glory of the Lord is the work of His Spirit. And the work of the Spirit in Genesis 1, 2 is to move around the world. Hallelujah. And bring men to the light of Jesus Christ. That's the glory of God. So we must know what the glory of God is. So the glory of the Lord is not the same as the glory of men, even though we're using the same words. So let's pause and see something now. Now, remember last week we saw how Moses said, show me your glory. Remember that last week? Show me your glory. And God spoke about His grace. Can you remember? His goodness and His mercy. I will save. God explained that glory, which is the grace of God, or His face, which will happen in the resurrection, to salvation and the work of His Spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Who's following this? Are you following this well? So when we say glory of God, the glory of God, it cannot be what a man can do or what a man can achieve. You can be very intelligent. Sarah, that brother, remember one guy like that in my secondary school? You know, the guy's name is Silva Subramanian. So his dad was from Sri Lanka. His dad was a teacher. He taught physics. Then he had all these, guys who taught us then. So, speech and prize giving day, maybe about 12 prizes. They say, brother, so Silva Subramanian B, you come out. How's it going? Chemistry, you come out again. All his mates were just looking. You know. And he got all the prize. Then they gave Yoruba to. It was very bad. You know. And he kept coming, took all the prizes. Now, imagine it was a Christian. We'll say, ha! Come and see how God was glorified. And I'm sure that the guy, not all the time, but maybe the guy whom God was glorified in doesn't even have a Bible. But because his name is Chris. Christian. A Christian going to hell. You don't get that, do you? Say, God is glorified. You know, he took 4 prizes in that day. And God is glorified. Why? Because he got a prize for himself. That he was taught by a non-Christian. Mentored. Go and ask most Christian businessmen. Their mentors are not Christians. And God is glorified. Selah. Where were we? We left Exodus 16, right? So, in Numbers 14, something that happened, the Holy, you know, Numbers 14 was the final nail on the coffin, if I'm using that word, when Israel said they were not willing to go with God. They were not willing to carry out God's plan. The plan was get to Canaan and reach the world. And we've thought, they studied before, that God called them. He said, Israel is my son. Exodus 4:22, and my firstborn, my bien, my bakor, Israel is the one that will carry out my work in the earth. And we said, what were they to do? They were to do what Abraham did, Genesis 27. Abraham was a prophet, God's spokesperson, an evangelist who went around. That's why they didn't have a place. All the patriarchs were missionaries. They didn't have their own house. They were moving around, moving from place to place, preaching God's promise. And so that was the mandate on Israel. That's why I look at Psalm 115. Turn there. A very popular scripture. Again, that has been massacred. That's a popular word these days. Psalm 115. I actually meant 105. Hallelujah. Are you there? Look at verse 6. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Can you see? Abraham what? Businessman. Nobody called him businessman, no. After Genesis. But today, the remnant of people who have is businessman. His servant. Are you there? Jacob is chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Can you see? In all the earth. He had remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 what? Is that not the great commission? Are you there? Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. And he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan the Lord of your inheritance? When there were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. Let's take verse 13 now together. Let's go. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. You mustn't miss World Changers Conference, right? What? Let's go on, John. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah, he rebuked kings for their sake. Let's take verse 3 together, saying, touch not, do. Is it clear now? Do my preachers no harm. So what were they? Huh? They were his preachers. From nation to nation. From place to place. What was Joseph doing in Egypt? He was a preacher. Hallelujah. Preacher. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. That was the mandate on that nation through Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob. So in Numbers 14, when they said to God, we no go agree, oh, we no go agree. Take us back to Egypt. They said, we won't go back to Egypt. After 40 years. Imagine you had been teaching somebody the Bible 40 years. And he says, can I tell you the truth? can I open my heart? Do you want me to be real? Say, yeah. You had a great believers convention? He said, yeah, I did. But can I tell you what's on my heart? Yeah. I tell you, I'm not a Christian. You feel like dying. I've had that experience before. There was that guy. He would come to our meetings, yellow guy like this, very yellow. Not you. In fact, I met him later on when I was in my fifth year in the faculty of law. He was in the first year. What's his name again, though? When I saw him, I was angry. I think he's sheriff. He will come, and I was so glad that I had a Muslim convert who was growing in the Lord. And he will come to meetings and all that. So one day, he just said, brother, let me tell you something. See, I've not renounced my faith. I said, but I don't get it. It was in the evening. So, I don't get it. He said, no. I said, but I thought you were filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, how was his name again? I'll remember his name. He's a lawyer now. He said, I just came to look at what people were saying. 9 months! 9 months! He said, yeah, yes. He will come. Not that he was very regular, but he used to come a lot. That's why I really felt, yeah. A change in life. What's his name again? I'm forgetting his name. Maybe he's born again now. I don't know. But 40 years. And he said, take us back to Egypt. Do you know that journey? So why did you bring us to this place? You know, they were always complaining. Before the rest of the complaint, when they left it, they were complaining. They said, oh, they saw people die in Egypt and God rescued them. And so when the God brought us, he said, you have left us there. Look at this thing now. Moses, stand still, stand still. You know what stand still means? When you tell children, stand still, stand still. I said, okay. See pattern. So they walk through, and then I said, Pharaoh is coming, Pharaoh is coming. Just be moving. We just be moving. They were always come. Every junction, every service, every teaching service, every prayer meeting. Complain International Center. 40 years. At the point they say, we are missing onions. That's the reason, right? That's very prophetic, you know. They are missing onions. That's one of the strangest. And God says, if you want onions, I'll fill it in your nostrils. That's the first joke. You know, read it before? God says, I'll give you onions to come out of your nose. That's the first joke I'll see God say to come out of your nostrils. Like, what kind of people? You know? Very interesting. Very interesting people. But it got to a point when he said, we are no longer doing. Verse 21. And God says, as truly as I live, all the earth, hallelujah, will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's Genesis 1:2 will come to pass. All the earth. That means God is pronouncing his covenant and promise in spite of the failure of those that he chose to carry out his task in the earth. The earth will be filled. That word doxa there. Now, two words in there. Doxa. Sorry. Kabod. I'm quickly in the Greek. Kabod. And then the word mali or melo. M-A-L-E or M-E-L-O. Will be filled. So two words. Filled with the glory. Filled with the glory. Filled with the glory. Now, when you read after Moses, observe his terms. Observe his use of words. For example, when Moses says, visiting the iniquities of the father on the children, pakad, P-A-Q-A-D, Moses used pakad for taking care of, to take care of, from Genesis through to Deuteronomy, to take care of the iniquities. But when you go to Isaiah, Isaiah uses it for punishment. Because taking care of also includes taking care of people when they have committed offenses. But you have to observe, when you read scripture, take note of how that particular writer uses a particular word. So when Moses writes, filled with the glory of the Lord, filled, melo or malay, filled, your mind goes to Genesis 1:26. Replenish the earth. Fill the earth. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Fill the earth. Fill it. Then you go to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Are you in church? Psalm 72. Verse 19. Blessed be the glorious name forever. His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with the glory. His glory. Amen and amen. Isaiah 11. So they are all writing from who? From Moses, right? Isaiah 11. Verse 9. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk. That name looks like Abba the Cook. You ever thought like that? Habakkuk 2:14. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So you can see Habakkuk takes both Isaiah and the psalmist. And then Moses, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, how? As the waters cover the sea. Who did God tell that his seed will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea? Who? Abraham. Abraham. So the glory of the Lord filling the earth is man receiving the work of the Spirit. That's what it is. So the glory of the Lord is the work of the Spirit. Primarily, salvation. Salvation and everything that comes with it. Salvation and the signs of it. What leads to it, what comes from it, is what is called the glory of God. Anything that doesn't point to or come from salvation cannot be called the glory of God. Is that very clear? Come on, guys, let me see your hand. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? The glory of God. Now, I'm not saying men don't have their glory. Men have their glory. Some of you are looking very good. Most of you, all of you, amen. Looking good, that's glory. Glory. But that's man's glory. So, man's glory cannot be seen as God's glory. So, last week, my best footballer ever, Maradona, died. And the whole world stood attention. People were talking about him and that particular goal. Though they don't show that goal in England. A friend of mine who is now British, he said, well, why are you people forgetting that the first goal was illegal? The second one, I said, the second one validates the first. He said, you're a man of God, and I'm ashamed you are saying that. And we laughed over it. You know, the truth is, you know, and then people talked about him. I also talked about him. Because I love these games. I think the game against Belgium was the best game. It was a clear departure from what happened in England. They were the one that he took them off from the middle of the pitch again. But that's just the glory of man. And the Bible says it fades away. Like grass. That's what it is. But let's enjoy it, amen. While it lasts. We talk about it, but it's just what it is. So don't go out and say, I don't care. You fail your school book, you say, you know, because it's not the glory of God. You know. Or you don't have your bath in the morning, then another glory is coming out of yourself. He said, it's not the glory of God. So he said, he must be very stupid. Someone once told me, he said, God looks at the heart. Man looks at the heart. I said, who am I? He said, you are a man. So I'm not looking at your heart. I'm looking at you. Are you there? You know, the Chelsea glory is also fading away. Thank you. Someone said, amen. I receive it. Oh, yeah. Where were we? See how Chelsea has confused me. Father, in Jesus' name, I take back. John 12. Are you there? So when you say the glory of God, it makes sense to you, right? The glory of God. There's a glory of man. There's a glory of man. And the Bible talks about it. Isaiah 40. Let's look at it. Isaiah 40. There's a glory of man. Look at Psalm 103 first. 103 verse 13. Verse 14 and 15. Yes, Isaiah. That was not the text. Look at it. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. For as for man, let's go. His days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. That word flourishing is glory. For the wind passes over it, is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. 1 Peter 1:24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But it's the word of the Lord that endures forever. Hallelujah. So the glory of man is good to look at it, like it, but notice, it will fade away. It will always fade away. It's only the word of God that endures forever. You learning something? Are you learning something? John's Gospel 12. So when Jesus in John 14, verse 13 says, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. What does he mean by the Father glorified in the Son? That word glorified, we've seen it in the Old Testament, is from the word doxazo. D-O-X-A-X-O. Don't forget that the Greek is doxa. D-O-X-A-X-O. Glorified. How is it done? Look at two chapters before. John's Gospel 12, 24. John's Gospel 12, 24. I want us to read it together as a church. We're going to read it till verse 28. And let's go. John's Gospel 12, 24. Let's go. Let's start on 23. 23, please. The hour has come. Go on. And the Son of Man should be what? Glorified. 24. For verily I say unto you, except the corn of wheat shall fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But when he dies, it brings forth what? Is that salvation? More sons to glory. Look at 25. He that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall be no servant behind. If any man serve me, him shall my Father honor. 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour. 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Hallelujah. So the Father being glorified in the Son is the Son being multiplied in the earth. More sons being brought to glory. Hebrews 2 tells us that. Verse 10. So the word doxazo here, another verb, to glorify. 62 times in the New Testament Greek. To glorify. What do you mean? D-O-X-A-Z-O. What do you mean to glorify? It means to honor. To honor. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 6:2. So let's look at that word glorify used in the book of Acts. Glorify. Glorify. Acts 4:21. Because when Jesus said we glorified in the Son, we must see where it happened. Where did it happen? Acts 4:21. So when they had further threatened, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all glorified God for that which was done. That's a miracle that happened. Acts 4:21. Acts 11:18. Acts 11:18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then at God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. In Acts 4, there was a miracle, and that miracle led to the preaching of Jesus Christ. In Acts 11:18, the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius received Christ and they spoke in tongues. In Acts 13:48. Let's take it together. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and what? Glorified the word of the Lord. Why? And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Acts 21:20. And when they heard it, what did they hear? They heard that the Gentiles had heard the word of God in verse 19. They glorified the Lord. So to glorify or be glorified will mean something done through Jesus. What is done through Jesus? Through the redemptive work of Jesus is what brings glory to the Father. Romans 15 and verse 6. Romans 15 and verse 6. Let's see it now. Romans 15 verse 6. Alright. that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15, verse 6. Then verse 9, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. That's salvation. Romans 1, 21. When they knew God, they glorified God not. They were not thankful, became vain in their imaginations. Romans 1, 21. Romans 11, 13. Romans 11, verse 13. I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. That is, I give it honor. Romans 11, 13. Now look at 1 Corinthians 6, 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your spirit, and in your body, and in your spirit, which are God. What God has purchased with the blood of his Son. 2 Corinthians 9, 13. 2 Corinthians 9, 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ. Gospel of Christ. 1 Peter 2, 12. 1 Peter 2, 12. 1 Peter 2, 12. By your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which you shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter 4, 14. That is done even in persecution. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, on your part he is glorified. So God is glorified also in persecution. Can you see it? Can you see it? Okay, in taking shame because of Jesus. So, God's glory has to be related with the gospel of Jesus. Who can see that clearly? Come on. Let me see. Can you see that very clearly? God's glory has to be with the gospel of Jesus. So, if God's glory fills the earth according to what he said to Abraham, it will mean the work of his spirit and the promise that he gave. So the Father being glorified in the Son is the promise made to Abraham is being fulfilled in Jesus. That's very vital. So in Luke 24, when he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, verse 26, and enter into his glory. Now, I checked that word, enter into his glory, pay attention, which is the word isekomai, and found it in the present tense continuous. So Jesus didn't enter once into his glory. Jesus is entering into his glory. And it began from the resurrection. It's entering into his glory. Remember? David said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Malay, mellow, fullness. That's the same word. The earth and all that dwell in. Founded the earth upon the seas. Then he says, who is the King of glory? Let the King of glory come in. Let him come in. Same word, esekomai. Come in. Come into where? All the earth. So Jesus is entering, present tense continuous, into his glory from the resurrection. There's a continual work being done now. That is the glory of God through Jesus Christ. So the glory of God, or God being glorified, is through Jesus Christ. Who's following this? Come on. Are you following this? Ephesians chapter 3. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is matching. You know the song? Sing it, come on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. One more time. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is matching up. Is that another song we're using back then? All over the world, God's Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it should be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, all over the world,
all over the world.
In Africa, in Europe, in Asia, all over Nigeria, all over the world, as the prophet said it should be, all over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. So when you see people in their thousands, that's what he's talking about, right? Gather to pray, right? Come on. In their millions, in their hundreds of millions. Hallelujah. That is the glory of God. Not some fireworks. No. As the waters cover the sea. Amen. Say, I'm part of the glory. Say, I'm part of the glory. Oh, let's go on now. Where were we? Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Let's take 21 together. Unto him be the glory in the church. Hallelujah. By who? Jesus. Throughout all the ages. World without end. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you see it? It's in the church. Glory to God. The glory is where? In the church. And it doesn't stop in the church. It's to all ages. Hallelujah. Say, I'm part of the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a song we used to sing then too. The cloud of glory is moving. Let us move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. Hallelujah. We're moving. As we go from street to street, the cloud is moving. Hallelujah. As churches are planted in every corner of every street. Some guys are angry. They say, come on, we'll get churches everywhere, churches everywhere. What was that nonsense? Religion and no relationship. Which one do you have? Lazy Christians criticize a lot. And they have big grammar. Big grammar. Tell him to come and pray. He'll be pocketing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Only Lord's Prayer. Even with Lord's Prayer, he's sleeping. Say, I'm in the glory. All right now. So, that means the glory is in the church. Salvation, the new birth, is how the Father is glorified in the Son. And miracles that attend to it. Miracles, works, and deeds. How's the Father glorified in the Son? Salvation of souls. The writer of Hebrews says he will bring many sons unto glory. Hebrews 2:10. Miracles. Miracles that point us to salvation. Not some miracles that are more like voodoo. There are some miracles that are like voodoo. I'm telling you. Like voodoo. I was in a service and the guy was telling a lady how much she had in her account. And the account number, I said, ah. It was in the battle. 1998. And I told my friend, I said, this is nonsense. Because I said, you have your account number, so, so, and so, and so, with the Standard Chartered or something. Standard Bank, Standard Trust Bank. STB. That you have this And the Lord is saying, drop it now. I say, well, you can't talk to me because there's nothing. Me, I have nothing to show. Hallelujah. Every move of the Spirit points you to Jesus. Joy in Him points you to His work. Any move of the Spirit that doesn't point you to Jesus is not the Holy Ghost. Because we know the work of the Holy Ghost in the earth. No man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Spirit of God. And no man that calls Jesus Christ speaks by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2 and 3. We're clear about that, right? Are we clear about that? It's not every spirit that professes Jesus Christ. Spirits can do miracles, signs, and wonders. But the Spirit of God, when He does miracles, signs, and wonders, points us to Jesus. That's how we know. Are you in church? Are you learning something? So the glory is in the new birth. The glory is also when the bodies of believers are transformed. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, to whom that He called, to them the blessed, the new He called, to whom that He called, He justified, to those that He justified, He glorified. He glorified. How's that done? The physical body, which we have today, this called mortal body, will also be glorified. It will be adopted as sons. Romans chapter 8, 22, 23. That means your body will also become God's son. Hallelujah. Your body will also be adopted as sons. That's a work of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, from verse 28 to 23. The new birth, the work of the Spirit. So in John 12, 24, he says, the corn of wheat will stand alone, except it falls down to the ground. Then when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. That's going on right now, right? Is this not much fruit? Hallelujah. Beyond the 12, beyond the 70, we now have millions and millions and millions. Hallelujah. So the glory of God is filling the earth. So when Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. John 14, 12 and 13. That the Father may what? Walk His Spirit through the Son. They be glorified in the Son. That means He will bring people to salvation, right? He will heal the sick, raise the dead. Hallelujah. Come on, that also includes persecution, right? And the Father is glorified. Shame, right? And the Father is glorified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also a good testimony of a Christian, right? The works of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus. Glory to God. The morality of Jesus and the Father is glorified in the Son. Why? Because now Jesus Christ lives in you. So He's the one working it out. He's the one working it out. Christ lives in me. I don't think I heard you. Glory to God. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. So He glorifies God. He glorifies the Father. Every walk of the Spirit in you glorifies God. Everything done by the Spirit glorifies God. Everything you do in the Spirit, by the Spirit, glorifies God. It glorifies Him. It honors Him. Anything that is not done by the Spirit of God doesn't honor God. What honors God is by the Spirit of God. And so we are vessels unto honor. Say, I'm a vessel unto honor. I'm a vessel that brings glory to the Father. The Spirit of God finds expression in me. That's why in John 14, go back there quickly. He says the Father is glorified in the Son. How? I'll pray the Father, 16. He will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not. But you see Him, for He dwells with you and shall be where? In you. So the Father is glorified in the Son by the work of the Spirit. Who dwells in us today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Isaiah 53 quickly. Isaiah 53. So when we say, be glorified in your church, Jesus, Jesus, be thou glorified. If you sing a song, for example, and doesn't talk about Jesus, you are not glorifying the Father. The way to glorify the Father is to speak about Jesus. If you honor the Son, you honor the Father. The way to glorify the Father is to glorify Jesus. That's why I shudder when I see people want to sing songs that are politically correct, that won't talk about Jesus. I remember there was a group like that in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, that they were to sign for a record label, and they told them that they should remove Jesus from their songs if they want to sell. There was someone like that who got the same offer. In fact, like three people I know, and I said, well, what exactly are you singing for? Are you singing to glorify God, or you're singing to make money? Because you can use God's good lyrics to make money. It's not wrong to make money. They said they should remove it. And they did for a while. You knew they were Christian ministers, but you won't hear Jesus in their songs. You won't hear it. There was even one song that I like that song so well. The song is about, you know, it's about sacrifice and all that, but nothing about the blood, nothing about the cross. You know, it's an offense. So don't mention cross, blood, spirits, glory, temple, house, family, father, son, holy. Oh, no, no, no. Those are offensive things. But say, for I know you love me. Yes, you do. You can do anything for me. Oh, yes. Don't just mention Jesus. Say, you can go any land for me. Just to win my heart. You can go any land for me. Say you died. Won't she any? Are they doing you? You died for my sins. Don't say, you know, when I thought I couldn't make it. Say, I was in sin. When I thought I couldn't do it, you came through for me. You were buried. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the gospel of God. Hallelujah. The gospel of Christ is the gospel of God. Amen. You don't say it's a nice song. It's not a gospel song, but it's a good song. You are tired. it's hallelujah. For the cross, I bow my knees. Don't say, you know, I just shudder when I see how much you love me. Woo, woo. Who? Hallelujah. I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Woo! Hallelujah. I love Jesus. I can't keep quiet about that. I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Amen. So say, you know, you can preach without even mentioning God. You know, just don't mention Jesus. What are you ashamed of? You know, so see, that's how you can reach many people. How many have you reached? Hallelujah. Are you there? I was called for one program like that. I think it was 97. So they called this, I forgot the name now. They said, you know, we really don't, we would preach Jesus, but not directly. But they told me late. I was already ready for the meeting. So okay. So as soon as I got there, they were bringing people that have relationship problems, which is an eternal problem, you know. Any church that wants to do that, you have an eternal walk. Relationship problems started from Genesis. It's okay. So as soon as I got there, I just began to minister about the Holy Ghost. As I ministered about the Holy Ghost, I called out cases and ministered to people. So nobody was going to give me any restriction to what to preach. They knew that that's Jesus. I mean, who else can do that? Heal the sick. You say, no, that's power now. When they saw that, they said, sit down. And I talked about Jesus. And they got born again. My friend who said, was at the Unilag guest house. My friend said, I don't know, how did you go about it? I said, it's the only way I know. Preach Jesus, God working with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. Two things are going to happen. You believe it or you chase me away. I'm ready for both. In both, God is glorified. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. Are you in church? Isaiah 53. Look at this. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Hallelujah. The word prolong is the word arak. A-R-A-K. It means to continue and continue and continue and not stop. In Isaiah 49 verse 8. Isaiah 49 verse 8. Imagine you said somebody is killed, then he will prolong his days. That's resurrection. Isaiah 49 verse 8. Isaiah 54 verse 2 as well. 54 verse 2. Enlarge the place of the tent. To enlarge. So which means that the death of Jesus will bring an enlargement. Shall see his seed. That means Jesus in the resurrection is enlarged. He's bigger. He's greater. Hallelujah. 12, 70, 120, 3,000, 5,000, 100,000, millions and mil. Glory to God. He's greater every day. He's bigger every second all over the world. Hallelujah. And prolong his days. What else? He says, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper. Talak in the Hebrew, T-S-A-A-L-A-C-H, will be profitable in his hands. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is prosperity. What is prosperity? Prosperity in the kingdom of God are souls saved. Prosperity is not having money. Prosperity is not a church having estates and building things. Prosperity is when a church grows in number of those who are born again. Are you there? So if you see a church that builds a church facility, $1 billion, and has 500 members, that church is not prospering. But if you see a church, all they have are tents. All they have are under trees, but they are all over the place. That's the prosperity. He shall see his seed and prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord will increase in his hands. Just like your cell, just like your fellowship, just like your church, just like your ministry. The seed of God is prospering in your hands. The gospel, the work of the Spirit is making advancement in your heart and in your life. That's why the word resurrection used by Paul was not a past tense. Egerio, anastasia, two words that mean to stand and keep standing. Jesus is entering into his glory all over Lagos, all over Nigeria. He's entering into his glory in lives and hearts all over the world. What's going on? The Father is glorified in the Son. I know you bring God glory. I know you honor God. You are a vessel unto honor. You are a vessel that brings glory to the Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we say glory to God, you know what it means now? Thank God for Jesus. That's what it means. When we say glory to God, we mean thank God for Jesus. Glory to God. So not anymore will I see somebody buy a brand new house and I'll say glory to God. Now I'm not an idol worshiper. I'll say that's lovely. That's nice. I'll thank God for you. But when I say glory to God, when I hear that a drug addict has been restored to the faith, an atheist is born again, I'll say glory to God. Stand to your feet and bless the Lord. Lift your hands and give glory to God. Glory of the Lord.